Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll take you through the main news of the day. So coming up before 5.30, now that Tynwald has rejected the North and West Area Plan, what is going to happen next? Also tonight, what do island businesses feel about how the current economic situation might affect them? A former government press officer raises questions about how public consultations are handled. We also find out how many vehicles stopped in a recent police operation were found to have defects. And why do community events matter so much over here and what keeps them going? That's all to come before 5.30. We'll look at the weather. There is another yellow weather warning in place. We'll hear about that in a moment. The traffic and the travel. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, Siobhan has the news headlines for us. Fast am I.
Tynwald has unanimously backed the first annual update on the island's autism strategy, with members welcoming early progress but warning major challenges remain. The report covers the first 18 months of the 10-year plan, with the Department of Health and Social Care saying that around 80% of actions are complete or on target. Manx Care's Air Ambulance Service is urging anyone being admitted to hospital to make sure they've packed a form of photographic ID. It's in case they have to be transferred to a British hospital for treatment. A decision by the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture not to respond to a Freedom of Information request has been deemed inappropriate by the Information Commissioner. It was asking for copies of correspondence between the department and Ramsey Town commissioners referring to the use of racist language during a one-month period. And the Mountain Road and the upper section of the Thalty Will Road are to remain closed until at least midday tomorrow. A yellow weather warning for frost and ice remains in force on the island until 3 p.m. on Friday. Further afield, the UK Foreign Secretary has described the activities of a Russian spy ship on the edge of UK waters as deeply dangerous. New rules are going to make it illegal to resell tickets to live events for profit. Ticket fraud expert Reg Walker says the plans for the resale sector are definitely viable.
There's been a number of companies that started a few years ago that are face value resale sites to be able to resell tickets at face value. They survive off of the service charge and they do seem to be flourishing.
And Scotland's international, John McGinn, says their qualification for next year's World Cup has still not sunk in. The midfielder helped his country secure their place at the tournament for the first time since 1998. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Siobhan. So that weather warning for frost and ice is in place, as Siobhan mentioned, until 3 p.m. on Friday. So it is going to stay really cold but dry for the next few days. Icy patches over the hills all day. We know the Mountain Road is closed until at least midday tomorrow. The general forecast then continues. Continuing dry and clear this evening and tonight, a slight ground frost developing in many places. A few icy patches again possible, especially over high ground and in places sheltered from those fresh northerly winds. So the minimum temperatures generally will be around 2, but it is going to be sub-zero on the hills. So another cold start tomorrow, but it will be lovely, fine and sunny, although still with those fresh northerly winds in some places. Maximum temperatures around 6 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-574. Or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Crewe's Bereavement Support Isle of Man offers free and confidential support for anyone grieving. But we can't do it alone. Donate £10 to Crewe's and your £10 will help children, young people and adults. Go to crewes.org.im to make a donation.
Visit SMS Trading at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
Craving authentic Filipino flavours? Visit Casalo Filipino Cuisine. We cook with love and passion. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eat in or take away. 66 Box Road, Douglas, or call 333690.
It's 4:30 past 5. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. Well, Tynwald has been back for the second day of its sitting this month. Christian's still down in the Tynwald chamber. We did let you go home last night, I think. But Fast Am I, Christian, bring us up to speed then with what's been happening today.
Yeah, first to my Beth. Well, it has been a fairly wide-ranging day so far. Updates on long-term strategies, some political tension around regulatory oversight, even a look ahead to future celebrations too.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment, but let's start with that major update on autism services. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so Tynwald has unanimously approved the first annual update on the island's 10-year autism spectrum condition strategy. Members broadly welcome the progress, especially the dramatic fall in waiting times for children. But they also warned that the toughest work is still ahead. There were firm calls for proper, sustainable funding, concerns about short-term notice, cancellation of support, and warnings from some members that government needs to do more beyond what they called box ticking and focus on real improvements in people's lives.
And I understand there was a significant debate around Moneyval as well.
Yeah, there was. It was quite an intense one, to be honest. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas, he wanted a select committee to examine the island's financial services and e-gaming regulatory frameworks. But ministers and backbenchers and some MLCs, they pushed back pretty hard, saying it risked sending the wrong message internationally at a crucial time. We know the Moneyval assessment is due to be beginning next year. So that really is going to be a very tense period of time.
There was some agreement, though, today, Christian, something about those celebrations in 2029.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know the Island Games will be visiting the island in 2029. It looks like that won't be the only celebration held that year, though. Chris Thomas, he's been busy, successfully got backing from Tynwald for the island to mark the golden anniversary of the millennium of Tynwald, marking 1,050 years.
Well, let's just take a break for a moment because we can hear from Mr. Thomas quickly, who told us more about why he believes the island should mark this celebration.
OK, so the crucial thing is it's the golden anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary of an event that took place in 1979. Most people remember that event very, very fondly and warmly, whatever age they were, in as much as there were nearly 400 special activities for that event. My motion isn't about the 1,000 years. It's about 1979, because the result of 1979 was a huge number of things. We had new footpaths created. We had a national arboretum that's now got sculptures in it created. We had all sorts of events during the year. We had presidents and kings and queens from around the island coming to visit us during that year. People remember that year very fondly. At the beginning of the summer, I got communication from a group of quite important people saying, "Chris, we love your motions. Why not do us a good news motion next year?" And this is my good news motion.
Certainly is. Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas talking there. Christian, then, just finally, housing back on the agenda today as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jenny Farragher tabled a motion looking at empty homes, derelict sites and properties owned by people based off island. She wanted local authorities to be given more powers to levy charges on unused buildings and brownfield land, potentially even extra charges on domestic properties that are owned from abroad. That has divided opinions, as you might expect. There were, to be perfectly honest with you, amendments flying all over the place. Long story short, though, it was defeated, and we will be hearing from Ms. Farragher in due course.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. Just before we go, biscuit update. Have any found it into your little commentary box yet?
Biscuit update? No, unfortunately, there is a significant lack of nibbles around here. I'm getting a bit peckish, so maybe I'll go and find something.
We'll sort that out for next time. Christian, thank you very much indeed. Tynwald's still continuing at the moment. If you'd like to listen, you can find the links on the Manx Radio website. It is coming up to 5:09. And staying with Tynwald, actually, something we reported on yesterday, one of the major developments from this week's sitting, the court decided to reject the proposed North and West area plan. Now, this proposal was subject to a combined vote after previously being defeated by the Legislative Council last month. Lewis has more.
This month's sitting was marked by frustration among some members after Treasury tabled an amendment to the proposal shortly before the combined vote. While any member is entitled to bring forward an amendment at any stage, the timing drew strong criticism. Following a debate lasting nearly 2 hours, Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford had this to say.
We've had something here today where it's been mentioned a couple of times about this being government's plan, government's development plan, as if this has just come out of the blue, that this is something where government sat down in a room and suddenly decided we want to do X, Y, and Z, and this is where it's coming from. I stressed last month, Mr. President, This is something that has had a huge amount of work and preparation going into it. It is something that, in our planning system, there has to be full transparency. It has been through independent inquiries. There's been over 1,000 consultation responses, a public inquiry, drop-in sessions, community guides, even a webinar to move things really into the 21st century. You know, and one of the things that's been very clear to this is it takes time to produce a development plan, and that consultation, engagement, and participation are at the very heart of that process. This isn't something that government has just drawn up. This has come from the evidence received and presented before an independent inspector. Now, it's also been suggested, Mr. President, by some members that even if this court doesn't approve the area plan, its adoption would actually count by the department, would count for something, that the work wouldn't have been in vain. Well, I've got to say, Mr. President, honourable members, the Town and Country Planning Act is clear. If the plan's not approved today, the planning weight it would carry is very simple to calculate, because it's none.
It's unclear whether a revised North and West area plan will return to Tynwald before the next general election.
Lewis Foster reporting there. It's 11 minutes past five. Now, a former government press officer says government consultations have become very skewed. Alistair Ramsay is calling for a strict code and for consultations to be run by a neutral party instead of government. He's been giving evidence this week to Tynwald's Constitutional and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee.
The role of consultation, I think that's kind of lost its way. We've seen some very skewed consultations in the last few years. For example, the health levy. Not do you agree with the health levy, but how do you think we should implement the health levy was, you know, a recent example. I think at the very least, some very strict code on how you run consultations, maybe actually have them produced, run independently through the Tynwald side on issues so that you've got a genuine neutral presentation of the issues to the public, maybe one way of doing it. But this idea that people have that consultation is a form of referendum, which is quite misleading. People think, oh, we had, you know, 200 responses in favour and 195 against. That, you know, it's not that's not what it's about. It's about gathering views and evidence that you might otherwise have missed. So I think there is a lot of scope for developing consultation, at least if not referenda. I mean, they do have a code of conduct on consultation, but I think something a bit stricter. And I think something that's presented through an independent third party, you know, these are the issues, these are the questions.
So not produced by the Cabinet Office, something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fairly radical idea, I guess, but
not that radical.
No, it just so that people would trust it a bit more, and it would actually be presented as a more objective and neutral presentation.
That is the former government press officer, Alistair Ramsay, who is giving evidence this week. He does sound a little bit like he was in a tunnel. That's just the way the audio records off that committee there. 13 minutes past five. Now, a survey of over 90 Manx businesses has found more than half of them believe they'll have to make cutbacks or redundancies next year. This data has been compiled by the Local Economy Forum following a public meeting to discuss the upcoming increase to the minimum wage, and Sian Cowper has more.
The businesses, which have a combined workforce of 3,800 people, were asked to assess the impact the minimum wage rise will have on their survival, operating hours, employment levels, investment and training. While some reported they're already experiencing difficulties, the forum found that severely heightened by the new rate. One business reported a high risk of failure in 2025, but that jumped to 14 respondents when taking the 2026 minimum wage into account. 57% said there would be a high or severe risk of cutbacks or redundancies when the new rate comes in, compared to 15% today, while 70% reported planned cutbacks in investment and youth employment. Forum Secretary Brett Martin said the result is plain to see in the results of the survey, particularly with a triple inflation increase in minimum wage coming down the line. The minimum wage will increase from £12.25 to £13.46 in April after being approved by Tynwald last month.
Sian Cowper reporting.
Manx Radio Travel driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So the main thing is the mountain road is shut until at least midday tomorrow, and we will wait and see whether or not that is going to reopen, because it is going to be icy up there again tonight. Other than that, it's the usual traffic lights have been around everywhere. They've got some on Onchan and King Edward Road, also in Crosby on the Ayrton Road, and in Laxey on the Ramsey Road near Arc Riott as well. All okay down at the airport, just a couple of little delays, but nothing major, and the steam packet is back to normal today. So the Manxman due in around about 6, heading out again at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside!
It's just gone 5:15, and 276 vehicles were stopped during Operation Uplift recently. This is part of efforts by police to raise awareness of the darker nights and also those changes in the weather conditions. It started on the 27th of October. It ended at the weekend, and Chanel Suku has more.
Organised by the Roads Policing Team with partners from the Vehicle Testing Centre and Customs and Excise, 138 vehicles were found to have a form of defect, some with multiple. In total, 168 were recorded, with 105 having faulty lights, 44 worn tyres, and 19 others with issues ranging from exhausts, wipers, washer fluids, horns, and missing or damaged wing mirrors. 11 vehicles were also found to have expired tax discs. 115 drivers were issued with defect ratification notices, with 7 days to address it. Meanwhile, 13 motorists were given endorsable fixed penalty notices, which are a fine and points, the majority of those for illegal tyres. 7 were reported for summons for offences such as having no licence, insurance or tax, and using a vehicle in a dangerous condition. Meanwhile, 5 motorists were arrested for drink or drug driving. The constabulary says while it does the annual campaign to raise awareness from the risks of using defective vehicles during the darker nights, officers routinely stop and check vehicles and drivers during the year.
Chanel Suku reporting. So just back to Tynwald for a moment, because ministers have to hold their chief officers account to when it comes to spending. It's from the Treasury Minister, who was questioned about contingency funding during this week's sitting. Dr. Alex Allenson confirmed departments don't have extra funds set aside if they go over budget, and that it's incumbent on all departments to make sure they're following regulations. He confirmed applications for a contingency figure can be made if additional expenses occur, but departments have to manage their own budgets.
All departments have from time to time funding pressures due to unexpected events or unexpected costs. Obviously, these costs need to be budgeted for and managed within that department. However, when they become over the department's capacity to absorb that, an application can be made to the contingency fund itself, which will then go through the normal process as outlined in financial regulations. One of the aspects of the last year has been the scrutiny panels that have been held with all departments on a regular basis with Treasury to try to understand some of the funding pressures and how these are being mitigated by the individual departments. And obviously there's been an awful lot of feedback there as to how the individual departments have been budgeting for known spends and also unexpected spends that may have been caused by a variety of occurrences, particularly in some of those departments that provide frontline services.
I'm struggling to understand why Treasury keeps putting it back on the department when a Treasury financial officer sits in the departments, over the departments, managing these funds. But could the Minister confirm, is there any limit put on a contingency fund to ensure departments don't create slush funds for really just projects that they want to achieve by the end of the year? So is there any limit put on by Treasury which could give a control mechanism so that departments are not doing these vanity projects that they wish out of a contingency fund?
Again, it is the responsibility of the individual departments, the chief officer of those departments, but ultimately also the minister to hold those chief officers to account. It's absolutely right that each department have their budget set out quite clearly and transparently at the beginning of the year. It's also absolutely right that members involved in those departments take part in some of the financial considerations around how that department funding is spent, to make sure that it's democratically accountable and ultimately democratically accountable to Tynwald.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson. He was answering a question there from the Onchan MHK, Julie Edge. It's coming up to 5:20. Well, the chair of the Southern Young Farmers says it's important the group supports community events to make sure they don't disappear. Now, The group recently teamed up with a society that's named after a flower that I'm not going to be able to pronounce. I'm not even going to try, but it was a bid to attract more young growers. And it saw the first ever big spud competition being held at their annual show. Manx Radio Countryside's Kiri Kermode has been talking to Caesar Kermode from the Young Farmers and first treasurer and organiser of the show, Dewin Gill.
Yeah, it's been great. And of course, this year we've had the Young Farmers involved with the new adventure into spuds, spud collection and weighing. And big spud in itself. Fantastic. And it's been great this afternoon out here, and we're going to auction the spuds off later.
That's brilliant.
Which will all go to our funds to continue the show. And we need to keep it going because shows all over the country, you know, smaller societies are shutting down, lack of members. So that's what we're hoping with the Young Farmers and any young people, I want to say young people, anybody who wants to be get involved. Don't have to be Crescents, but obviously we prefer Crescents. Veg, the confectionery, the spuds now, community thing. Let's get people involved instead of sat at home watching the football now.
Yeah. Is that what you would have been doing?
Yeah, probably.
Well, Caesar Kermo, chairman of the Southern Young Farmers, it looks like you've had a busy enough afternoon here yourselves. A tractor full of soil, buckets of spuds. Where did this collaboration all come from?
Well, came about last year. Yeah, I thought the Southern Young Farmers need to get a bit more involved in Southern community ideas and, yeah, really push the community, because once these sort of things start to disappear, they don't really come back. So you got to get involved, otherwise nothing will happen. So after last year's one, Murray Kringle, the current president of the Chrysanthemum Society, rang me up and said, would the Young Farmers want to get involved? And yeah, definitely, yeah, I said yes. So here we are, we've got a good crowd in and lots of new faces and bigger prices for all the veg and produce now, so hopefully it'll continue.
That's Caesar Kermode there, and he mentioned the annual show's name, which again, I'm not going to even attempt. There is the more on the latest episode of the Countryside podcast, which you can find on the Manx Radio website. Now, the Isle of Man Martial Arts Club Summit Grappling Academy is hoping to host an international event for the first time next month. The inaugural Jekeris Invitational is due to take place on Saturday, the 6th of December at the Roundhouse in Braddon. The head coach, Comrade Roberts, says they're hoping to feature some of the world's top grappling competitors, and he hopes it can benefit the sport on the island in the future as well.
We just thought it would be nice to do something else on top of all the other things we're trying to achieve. We've got a lot of talent here on the Isle of Man amongst the various clubs that are involved in grappling, but also we've managed to bring over some really high quality names and coaches in the past few years, and having met sort of people within the industry sort of worldwide on our travels, made those connections, and we thought, well, why not do our own invitational? But it's very much a Manx event. It's very much Isle of Man centric in regards to even the name, which is Jekeris, coming from the Isle of Man's motto. And it's another way to highlight the Isle of Man, highlight the grappling scene, to bring people over to conduct seminars, to get more people involved in the sport itself, but also to put on a really good show. And basically, we're going to have some of the best grapplers in the world.
One of the things that you're quite keen on is that it's not just going to be focused on one discipline, it's going to be opened up to try and attract people who are involved or interested in different disciplines in terms of martial arts, because there are, of course, plenty.
We would hope that it would appeal to sort of anyone that's involved in any sort of combat sports, because we are bringing people that have done a wide array of combat sports. One person we're speaking to is an ex-UFC fighter, so MMA is a mix of a number of martial arts, so anyone that has an interest in that, or anyone that wants to come and see something that's different, the production will be very professional, and it very much is a family-friendly event, and people can see if maybe they've had an interest or heard about what we do, and they can see it at literally the highest level. And then hopefully from that, you know, people may decide that they want to try it, and that's even better for the clubs that exist on the island, and hopefully then it becomes a regular thing.
That's Comrade Roberts, who is talking to Rob there. There is a sportscast of that interview as well, which you can find on the Manx Radio website. Speaking of Rob, he's here. Fastamai, you okay?
Fastamai. Well, in terms of sport, in tennis, former Isle of Man Pro competitor Billy Harris has been back in action on the ATP Challenger Tour this afternoon. The former Albany and Castletown player has suffered a 3-set defeat in the opening round in Bergamo, Italy, to Italian athlete Andrea Guerreri. Harris took the first set on on a tie break before Guerrieri fought back to take the second set 7-5 before a 6-3 success in the third and final set to take victory. Well, it's been a frustrating run recently for Harris, who's currently ranked 125th in the ATP World standings, with four consecutive losses now in all competitions. In pool, Ireland competitor David Adnall is now ranked 13th in the International Pool Association standings, following the fifth and final round of this year's IPA series on the Isle of Man. During last weekend's event on bank soil, Adnall reached the quarterfinals of the men's pro grand final before an 8-5 defeat to Craig Marsh of Wales. He then reached round four of the open grand final before losing out to England's Rob Dagnall. Remaining top of the IPA standings at the end of the current campaign is Liam Dunster, who won the men's professional final. Eventual winner of the open final, Mark Boyle, remains second in the rankings. In football, FC Isle of Man has announced one of its NWCFL Premier Division clashes due to be played in the new year has been brought forward to next month. The Ravens away tie at Atherton Laburnum Rovers, which was previously scheduled for January, will now take place on Tuesday the 9th of December. The Manx club says the change is due to travel difficulties they'd face for the original date, and FC Isle of Man is thanking their opponents and the NWCFL for facilitating the alteration. And some big news in motorsport for one of the Isle of Man's up-and-coming riders. Sean Crone, who's been making his name in the Andrus Racing Association Championship, has been snapped up by NW Racing for the 2026 season. Announcing the news, the team says Crone will compete in the BEMSI Open 500 Championship, as well as aiming for wildcard entries to the BSB Junior Sport Bike Championship. During this year's ARA Championship, Crone went on to win the lightweight class.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Can I talk to you about your sidecaring again now? How's it going?
Well, it's all on a break, isn't it, over winter? So we'll just have to wait and see. I did have some previous hopes of potentially getting out toward the tail end of last season, but unfortunately, due to a non-racing injury, that didn't materialise. So fingers crossed, maybe for 2026, who knows?
Practicing on a tray in the kitchen at home? No?
Well, given the weather conditions, if I would have been allowed up on the mountain road, maybe sledding down to get used to the speed, but that isn't allowed, is it?
Well, no, we won't tell anyone. Rob, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. Thank you very much for being with us. Coming up next, it's Spotlight with Howard. That's brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council at 6. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. The Opera Hour with Ernie Thorne is at 9. And then Ree will be with you from 10 with After Hours. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.